Our gospel lesson tonight comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 14. It begins, "As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, 'You see all these, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down.' When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' Jesus answered them, 'Beware that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured, and will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment of prayer, shall we? Gracious God, we ask that you be with us tonight during our Lenten journey. As we focus on the cross and on Palm Sunday, we ask that you just be in our hearts as we look around the world and see everything that's happening. And may the past, present, and future of your word and gospel guide us down that path into a faithful future where we know you are the risen King. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Here we are again, another week together on our Lenten journey with Jesus on our path to Palm Sunday, where Pastor Beth and I are doing a series together on this little path and looking at different ways of our Christian faith. We are looking at the landscape. We are looking at specific landmarks along the way as we work our way toward the cross. And maybe today that is where the challenge takes place. We see that the cross is in the distant future. Even while we look around the world today, a week and a half into a war nobody wanted, the prices around us rising rapidly, the reality of all this is no different today than it was 2,000 years ago. There are some who have taken and listened to the warning of what is about to happen. Then there are some who will only get further ahead. And this is what Jesus is talking about to us tonight about. There have been calamities. The temple is going to get destroyed. The lives of many will get turned upside down. And as I said, there is the cross, way out there in the distant future, a vision of hope, a vision of new reality. But here is the cold, hard truth about the cross. It doesn't eliminate the threats of natural disaster. It doesn't eliminate the violence of the world. It doesn't eliminate the religious bad actors. Nor does it take away the hardship for anyone. I know how difficult life can be. We want to be vulnerable, but I also know the reality in which we live. Tonight you heard me read from Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter. Just before this, Jesus left the temple. He just made a public statement saying this: "Woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," as he laments over the city of Jerusalem, one that kills the prophets. There is some level of turmoil. And now as we enter the scripture for tonight, we have Jesus and his disciples in a private space, which is high up on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is an important place, so important that Mark tells us that it is across from the temple. We are told that the Mount of Olives is higher than the temple. If we hop back into the Old Testament, we can read a bit about it in Zechariah, where it tells us this: on the day he will stand up on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives will be split in half by a very large valley running east to west. Half of the mountain will move north, and the other half will move south. But the truth is this, that the Mount of Olives is more than just a location. It is a place of divine revelation. It is a place of sacredness. One before the temple was built, destroyed, and built again. And Jesus pronounces that the temple again will be destroyed. So what does he do? He takes his disciples and walks up the mountain, higher and opposite of the temple mount, and he begins to teach. He tells the disciples to be aware of false prophets, those claiming that they are the Messiah. And for us, as later readers, this is where we begin to falter. Too often we miss the earthly teachings of Jesus, his location, his environment, his followers during his time. What Jesus teaches is rooted in and for Jesus's first hearers. That is why it's important to look around, take in the earthly motivations, the ecology, the geology, the landscape that surrounds the story, and apply them within the realm of God. And for some, this is troublesome. We think, why does it matter where Jesus is located? What does it have to do with his teaching? The truth is this, it does matter. It helps develop the story and how to imply that message that he is bringing. Just like when he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he made that choice to go that direction. And because Jesus is making that choice, it matters. And it should matter to us. And it should matter to the world. And it matters because of our lives as disciples living in the gospel. So as we continue down the path, as we place our feet one in front of the other on our path to Palm Sunday, let's take a moment and listen to the language of the land and the species that inhabit it all. Over the past weeks, I listened to this book called The People's History of the United States. In this book, it began with Christopher Columbus, you know, finding America, and it ended with Bush's Jr.'s presidency. It spoke about the land grabs of the colonizers a lot. It spoke about the use of religion. It spoke about the impacts of war and power, and how the white race was always deemed in a white person's eyes as the smartest and the most powerful. It really opened my eyes to the history that I was taught in school and how much of it was false or sugar-coated to impress the vision of white supremacy. It challenged me to think about the view of the world and the influence of the people. And as I read about Matthew's gospel lesson, I came across this question from Ernst Cosman, where he asked this: to whom does the sovereignty of the world belong? When it comes to the gospel lesson such as Matthew's today, it gives us this sense of divine light. It also gives us an opportunity to read the context of the passage in the past, present, and future. All too often we read scripture and think, is this telling us what the future holds? Or rather, are we using it to perceive what has happened in our past? Or are we using it to encourage our faithfulness in the present? Scripture gives each one of us the opportunity to see the world differently. even when the world around us seems to be trivial and full of challenges. But it is through God, those past and present and even future events that take place in our lives, if they are personal or even political, they become revitalized by the revelation of God's reign. Let me explain. Let's think about wars, or even rumors of wars, nations against nations. How about famines, natural disasters, people who are tortured, taken away, even persecuted? What do they represent? These things are all laid bare as circumstance of our life in the world. And the same thing happened back during Jesus's time. But for Jesus, those words of warning about the world, they were important for the disciples as they began following Jesus. They were used to give both warning and encouragement, not as prediction, not as specific events, but rather to call the community of disciples together to preserve their faithfulness and to watch persistently among the chaos that was taking place. All because Jesus wanted them to understand the world that they lived in is not of personal earthly value, but because the sovereignty of the world belongs to God. All too often, I think about when we read the Gospels, we forget what Jesus's world was truly like. He lived in a place ruled by the Romans, a kingdom that would kill someone just to prove their point. Their understanding of God, or their God, was not Jesus's understanding of God. And understanding God is sometimes challenging. When we live into what Jesus calls us to do, by loving our neighbor, by helping those on the margins, we do this because it all depends on God's rule and reign. If any of you know anything about the history of the temple that we talk about a lot, or even biblical history of the gospel, or Matthew's community, the truth is they've seen some stuff when this was written, even before it was ever written down on papyrus. In 70 CE, Common Era, this community already witnessed the destruction of the temple. So by the time Matthew was written out, the temple was already destroyed. It was exactly what Jesus said. Also, what was happening was this warning of false messiahs. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And today, the context is a bit different. Rather than claiming that someone is a Messiah, they say this, we are coming in Jesus's name. And then they have an American flag draped across them, telling others that empathy is false, that love does not have limits, that love does have limits, and that we should fear our neighbors, giving people this distorted view of Christianity, wrapped in hate for those who are different, focused on self-centeredness rather than neighborly love, those who ignore the enfleshed concerns of our day, just to find their personal spiritual comfort. What I like to call modern persecution, eroding the faith, causing others to fail, but still emanating from within the Christian community. Here's what Matthew says in verse 12. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Before I proceed, I'm going to jump back a couple of chapters in Matthew. This is where Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees. And I'm guessing every one of you will know this conversation. And it said, and they asked him a question. The Pharisees asked Jesus a question. Name the greatest commandment in the law. And here's what Jesus said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Friends, this is what being a Christian is all about. Love. No matter how the world is, no matter how others are, no matter how government rules, no matter the who, what, where, or why, love will take shape. It takes shape in practice, in relationship, and in flesh. And the same thing happened in Matthew's community, just like it can happen in ours. When we attempt to root ourselves in the greatest commandments of loving God and neighbor, and when that love falters, it threatens our mission as disciples of Jesus. If we are led astray when the world is chaotic or volatile, our love, it will grow cold. And our mission as disciples will grow thin. So what happens when the stress of the world becomes too much to bear? What happens when loving others becomes too painful, too risky, too costly? As a church, what is our role? Friends, our role is this. That on this path, when we look around and see a world crumbling around us, when the division is so strong we can't help but weep, through all the turmoil, through all the hate, through all the stress, we must never allow our love to cool. Never. We must never let the gospel of Jesus Christ be watered down. And we must never let the cruelty and greed of others exploit that gospel message to their own advantage. That is the gospel message today. A message as we walk the path to Palm Sunday. I ask you all to be vigilant to the gospel of Jesus. Amen.